Father, we come to you today and we, well, you say we are lights and we want to shine for you, Lord, and you command us to shine for you in order that your glory may be seen. And so, Lord, as we look at this simple passage of Scripture today, we pray again, as Bennett has shared with us, that after we have prayed, we may observe, that then through your help, we may understand, and that then we may go forth and apply. We want to be lights for you. We want to be lights in our family, in our neighborhood, in our place of work, and in all the places that you take us. And we want to see people come to you this year because of our witness and our testimony. So we ask that specifically right now. And we pray that today's word will help us in that pursuit. These things we ask in the humbly, in the most holy, wonderful, and matchless name of our Lord and Savior who gave himself for us. In Christ's name we pray. And God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. In the last few weeks, we've talked about the lost sheep, going to look for the lost sheep. We've talked about the story of the Good Samaritan and how that we need to take it a step further. And after we've brought somebody to the Lord, they need care. They need looking after. And that is our job as believers. And I've been in the Sermon on the Mount now for a few weeks in the Sunday school class. We've started with the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, we all know it starts with the Beatitudes. And then it is immediately followed by this little section here on salt and light. And Jesus says here, you are the salt of the earth. Now, the first thing I would ask then is, who does Jesus say this to? When we're reading a passage, who is he talking to? The world at large? No. He's talking to his followers. Because it says very, very plainly that when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. Disciples were full-time followers of his. They belonged to him. There used to be a song, "You belong to me." They belonged to him. And it says, and he began to teach them. Who's that? The disciples. Saying, you are the salt of the earth. He didn't say be salt. He said, you are the salt of the earth. The question is not, are you salt? The question is, as salt, are you salty? Are you effective? Because if you're not, he says, you've lost your purpose for being. And then he says, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say be light. He says, you are the light of the world. And then the question becomes, are you shining as you ought to be shining? And that is what a lot of what we're going to talk about this morning has to do about. Now, if you're one of those who likes to follow along and do the notes, now would be the time to get those because we'll be filling in a few of the blanks here with a few observations. Let's just do a few observations based on this passage, from based on what Jesus said. Number one, light is made to be seen. S-E-E-N. It is made to be seen. Now, there are those who might want to get real scientific and say, well, you can't see light. You can't see the actual light waves. You can just see what it reveals. But you know what I'm talking about. And you know what Jesus was talking about. What do you see over there? Do you see it? You see it. Do you see it? Do you see it? You look at the sun, you have to kind of shield your eyes, okay? And that is what Jesus is talking about. Light is made to be seen. Light is made to be prominent. Light is made to be in an open place so that it is visible. Visibility is the whole point, the principal point of this whole passage. Not are you a light, but are you visible? And so I ask you, as a light for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, are you visible? Jesus says you need to be visible. He says if you're a light and you're not visible, once again, you've defeated your whole purpose for being. How many of you lost in the woods, in the middle of the woods, and you have a good one of those good flashlights with a great big battery, would turn it on and then put your hand over the end of it? Guy down in Puerto Rico used to say, are you dumb or do you carry water in baskets? Light is made to be seen. Number two, light benefits men by providing illumination. May I remind you that the very first words uttered by God Almighty in bringing the universe into being were, let there be light. And as a believer, that is the very first thing that happens also. Let there be light. Let's get some light on this subject. Then we'll go to work. The light of the gospel. And that is the light we represent. Jesus is the light. And we bear His light. And that is the source of our light. And that is the source of the illumination. Read John chapter 1. Jesus came into the world to be a light. He shines in the dark place, and the darkness has never overcome it. John bore witness to the light, John the Baptist, but he was not that light. Jesus was that light. And the true light that lights every man, the true light, there's only one, came into the world. Jesus said in another place, I am the light of the world. Here he says to his followers, you are the light of the world. Why is that? Because you represent me. You let people know about me. Therefore, you are the light of the world. Light benefits men by providing illumination. The Bible says over and over and over and over that those who do not know the Lord, and that's you and me before we were saved, it says that they are walking in something that starts with the letter D. Darkness. In the spiritual realm. Morris Cirulo is always saying, truth is parallel. All truth is parallel. Whatever you observe in the physical world has a spiritual counterpart. There is spiritual darkness and there is spiritual light. And Jesus is that light. And those who are indwelt by Him, belong to Him, and represent Him, they are the light of the world in the spiritual darkness. So much for religious relativism. Number three, a hidden light is no better than no light. Because the effect is the same. I can have a very nice light, a very pretty light, a very bright light. But if I cover it up and it's not seen and it's hidden, it's the effect is still the same. You go into the room, it's hidden, it's covered, there is no light. And so Jesus is saying you're the light, but you need to be visible. You need to be in a place where you can be seen. A hidden light is no better than no light. Number four, the believer's love for the Lord is expressed in works. This is how we shine. Now we know we're not saved by works, and we're not going to get into that this morning. But we know we're not saved by works. But when we love the Lord, there will be works. And throughout the New Testament church is said, told over and over, be rich in good works, because these good works are the means by which we shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a shame if you see unsaved people out there doing more and better works than we're doing, and we belong to Jesus Christ, and they're just doing it for the satisfaction of it or the need. But did you know that a work that isn't tied directly to Jesus and to bring glory to Him is a dead work? It doesn't really go anywhere. And so that is the point of this passage as well. Number five, since our works grow out of our love for Jesus, or at least we're going to assume they do, because that's the way it's supposed to be as a believer. I hope your works grow out of a love for Jesus. Since our works grow out of our love for Jesus, they will invariably turn man's attention to Him. when they are done in the proper manner, the work will turn people's attention to the Lord, because there will be a direct connection between the work and the Lord, because we will make sure that that connection is there. Whatever we do, do we not say, I come to you in the name of who? The Lord. The Lord Jesus. We're not doing works just to do works. We're not doing good works just to look good. We're not doing works even just to relieve suffering or help people. Because how much have we helped them? If we relieve their suffering today and they still go into a Christless eternity because nobody ever shared the news with them. All works that we do as believers must be tied to the fact that we are from the Lord. Yes, the works is the way we show our love for Him. That's the way we shine for Him. But it's got to be tied to Him, and that people would know, I'm doing this. This is happening in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's why I don't want to put my money in a secular charity or relief organization. I want to give it to the Salvation Army, or I want to give it to Union Mission. I want to give it to somebody that's going to bless people, but also tell them about Jesus. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Number 6. Works properly done always bring glory to the Lord. Works properly done always bring glory to who? To the Lord. That is, they turn people's attention to the Lord and move them to give Him glory. We've been studying Genesis on Wednesday nights, and we've been in the story of Joseph. And Joseph, while he was in jail, two of the king's high employees came in there, and they each had a dream, and the Lord gave Joseph the interpretation. One of them was hanged, and the other one was restored to his position, and he forgot all about Joseph for 2 years. But then when Pharaoh had the two dreams he had, nobody could figure it out or interpret it, and that's when the cupbearer remembered the young Hebrew man back in prison that had accurately interpreted his dream, and he mentioned it to Pharaoh. And Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I hear you can interpret dreams. And do you know what Joseph's answer was? He said, it is not in me, but the Lord will give an answer to Pharaoh today. Do you believe Joseph was shining for the Lord?
Amen.
See, what he did, he gave the Lord the credit. And then the Lord got the glory for it. When those three Hebrew children and Daniel were in pagan Babylon and all of that, and they had to take a stand and all of that, and God worked in them in such miraculous ways, but who were they always pointing to, and who always got the glory for what they did? It was the Lord, to the point that at one point Nebuchadnezzar writes a letter and says, hey, all you people, there's only one true God, and it's the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, hallelujah. That is when the light is shining, because it is tied to witness. See, your good work is part of your witness, and the two are tied together. Now, it's really interesting. You read this. Let's go back here again and read this one more time. You are the light of the world. You, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men put a lamp, light a lamp and put it under a bowl. We used to say under a bushel. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. Now, there's an important little Greek word that gets lost in the NIV. The NIV has a way of losing little Greek and Hebrew words. It just does. I'm sorry. The word is houtos. 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 It means in the same way, in the same manner, thus. The correct translation is here is, let your light shine in such a manner that men see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's all about how the light shines in such a manner. And that's what we're talking about earlier, that it be tied to your relationship with Christ, that it be tied to your witness and to your testimony. That is the way, that you're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it in the name of the Lord. You are not making a secret of the fact that you are doing it in the name of the Lord. And then it will turn men's attention to the Lord, and He will get praise and glory. And yes, we are motivated by the love of Christ. And yes, historically, it has been the Christian believers all over the world when they go into a needy area who are the first, even today in Africa, to bring clean water to a village. It's the Christians. Who are the ones who are first to deliver food to these places? It's the Christians. When there's a medical need, who were the first all those years of the missionary movement? Who were the first to put hospitals in places that did not have them? Was it not the Christians? And we've allowed the world to co-opt this thing. Let me tell you something. Do our good works, but do them in a manner that they what? Point to us? Or point to South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church? No. That they point to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should be rich in good deeds, and we should be looking for opportunities right next door and all around us to do those kind deeds. But when you do it, you smile and you go in there and you help those people, but somehow in a nice way, you let them know you share the good news about Jesus at the same time. And the two things together are powerful. Amen? They're powerful. Oh, I was cracking up the other day because in the actual news, not this immediate week before us, but the week before, in the regular news, there was a voodoo priest in Haiti complaining that the relief efforts were being monopolized by Christians. And I'm like, yeah, you're kidding. What are those voodoo priests going to offer anybody? A spell? Hope? I don't think so. And you mark my words, when all the hype is gone and when all the network musicals have gone away to raise money, and when it's no longer in the media 24 hours a day, who's still going to be down there with their sleeves rolled up working in the name of Christ? It's going to be the Christians. When Katrina hit, all this, and after the government came in and poured in the billions and billions of dollars and bought a whole bunch of trailers that were laced with formaldehyde and wound up still setting, somebody said, let's send them to Haiti, and the Haitians were insulted. Did you know that? But who was it that day in, day out was there feeding the people and doing the job, and some of them are still there doing it now? It's the churches. It's the believers. They're the ones. And that is as it should be. So whether it's just you going in and cleaning for your neighbor when they're sick for a few days, or taking the cake over or the meal, or whatever form it may take, or doing something in the community, or indeed helping out in a place where disaster has stricken, it says we are the light of the world. The reason we're the light of the world is that wherever we go, we carry the light of Jesus. And the good works are not an end in themselves. The good works are a means to an end. Do you hear me? They are a means to an end. They are not the end in themselves. They are our way of shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are actually our way of giving a love offering back to Him for all He's done for us. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice to God, which is your what? Your reasonable service. And so we serve and we give and we go, but we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So my prayer today is, you are the light. This little light of mine. What are we going to do? I'm going to let it shine. Where does he want you to let it shine? Wherever he's put you. That would be your house, your home, your neighborhood, your community, your local church, yes. Your place of work, your circle of associations, wherever the Lord has placed you, that is where you're going to shine. You're going to do some good works, but whose name are you going to do them in? You're going to do them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you just going to do the work, or are you going to do the work laced with the witness? And that's what it means to shine in such a way that men will see your good works. And then what will they do? They'll give glory to our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us so much, and you've given us so much, and you've poured out so much in us and on us and upon us, Lord. We've got a light. We are the light, you say. And Lord, we want to be visible, but we want to be visible so that people will see the good works, and then they will turn around and they will give you the honor and the glory for it, that they will know by what means this good deed was done. And Lord, I pray that 2010 will be a year where every one of us, that you will increase our brightness. And maybe we don't even need to be any brighter in our walk with, personal walk with you, but maybe we just need to get more visible. Be a little more willing to say something. Be a little more willing to let people know what it's all about and why we have this joy and why we have this peace and why we're willing to serve the way that we do. And Lord, that our works will count for you, that they will count for eternity as men and women and boys and girls. And yes, you've given us this. It's powerful. So Lord, we just want to shine. Thank you, Lord. And we pray that you will shine through us in Jesus' name. I just have a closing word on this, because I was thinking last Sunday, I was out there in the afternoon. You know, we did cancel church because the snow was so deep. And that sun was so bright. Have you noticed how bright the sun looks when it's hitting that snow? And this is the thought that came to me last Sunday, shoveling snow. That sun's just shining, and it's melting this snow. That sun's just shining. It's not trying to melt any snow. It's just shining. But it is melting snow. And it shines every day. The sun isn't trying to grow any flowers, but it does. But all it does is just what? Shine. There's a sermon in there somewhere. Hallelujah. You shine, and flowers will start coming up. Whew! Hallelujah.